This is fun! The FU Network.
For he's a jolly good fellow. For he's a jolly good fellow. For he's a jolly good fellow. Let's all say on the bus.
I'm Ed the Sock. Welcome to Mensplaining on Fun, the FU Network's FU Politics channel. Please consider supporting us. Patreon.com/FUNetworkTV or PayPal at FUNetworkTV@gmail.com. Don't be a goddamn freeloader. Okay, we're going to be talking today about sitcom dads, about the way men, specifically sitcom dads, are depicted in sitcoms, have been depicted in sitcoms, and is it a fair depiction of men? Is it complimentary? Would we tolerate this kind of depiction of any other noticeable group or identifiable group? We'll get to that. We're not going to whine about it, but we're going to talk about it because there's a lot of funny crap there. But first, the question that's on everybody's mind is, Andy, are you drinking tequila yet?
I'm absolutely not drinking tequila right now. Okay, I'm having good. Tea.
Tea.
I'm having tea and looking at Patreon, just waiting for all these donors to come in.
Irish tea.
You know what? Why don't you paint something and watch that dry? okay. All right. So let's go and talk about it. Sitcom dads. There was a time when TV was new, when the sitcom dad knew everything, was the authority on everything, wore a suit and tie at home, even when relaxing. But the sitcom dad knew best. There was a very popular TV series, Father Knows Best. And you had My Three Sons, Leave It to Beaver, all these old shows where the fathers always were right, always knew everything, and were depicted as being exceptionally competent. And you could understand why the wife they had is the wife they had, because that wife was in his league. Jump forward decades, and we've got According to Jim. You know, I always use Jim Belushi as an example. But you got King of Queens. You've got basically any sitcom with a sitcom dad. You've now got a sitcom dad who's a schmuck. A likable schmuck. They're not mean, but they're incompetent. Their wives need to bail them out. It's always the guy has some kind of harebrained scheme, and the wife knows it's not going to work, and then it doesn't work, and he tries to hide it from her, but she knows it didn't work, and in the end, he has to admit it didn't work, and here he is, still a schmuck. We've got, Ray Romano. Everybody loves Raymond. Yeah, but he was seen as a fairly weak character and certainly not the smartest one in the household. His wife seemed to be more intelligent, more reasonable than he was. I mean, off camera, she's a Looney Tune, but on camera, she had it together. And I'm just thinking, who's your favorite TV dad? We'll start that way. Stuart, who's your favorite TV dad of all time? Let's stick with sitcoms.
Of all time? Well, currently, I think I'd probably have to say Phil Dunphy from Modern Family. I really identify with him as a human being. And like I think Modern Family has a pretty good sort of like, because it does that sort of generational family thing, it has sort of like all three of the like different types of like sitcom dads you could really think of. Like there's they have literally the progenitor of the sitcom dad and the grandpa who's married to like the hot, like, I think is she Spanish?
She's Brazilian, I think, maybe.
Brazilian. Yeah, I couldn't, okay. I can't remember.
Beautiful woman, yeah.
Yeah, beautiful, yeah. Sort of like just, I don't want to be on PC, but like exotic in that sort. And then you have the sort of like the well-meaning sort of like schmucky sort of dad in the in Phil Dunphy, even though he's pretty confident, like he's got like a fairly well, he does it pretty well with his like, I think he's a like a,
but he doesn't do things that are zany.
Yeah, he does. He's very zany.
No, I'm talking about zany where things are falling from the roof of the garage.
I gotta fix that step thing, and he's always got these like crazy inventions. Like there's like the head, like the helmet that's supposed to massage your head, but your hair just gets stuck in it.
All right, so he is zany. He is a schmuck, but he's rich, isn't he?
Yeah, they're all like really wealthy. Like that, I think that's just sort of a thing with sitcoms. Is like if you look at like what the like household budget for most sitcom like families,
they don't live in the real world. Sitcoms. No. Do not live in the real world. That's been established. There's just no way. I don't watch Modern Family, and I'll tell you why. It's because of the gay couple, and not because they're gay, but because one of them is flaming gay, and who in his real life is an actor who's straight, and I just see that as kind of a lampoon, a throwback to when gay characters on TV had to be these stereotypes. And every time he was on the screen,
like Grace too, like the stereotypical gay guy, he's straight, and then I think Will is the gay guy.
In real life.
Yeah, like they're the actors.
Yeah, but on the show, they're both gay because they're married, and it would be odd for a straight person to marry a gay man on a show. Though that may very well be the plot of a sitcom coming up. The thing is, that's the reason I don't like that show. So that's why I'm unfamiliar with Phil Dunphy, but that's Stewart's vote. Hafiz, your favorite all-time sitcom TV dad?
If we're going with the modern archetype of the idiot sitcom dad, it has to be Earl Sinclair from The Dinosaurs.
No, it doesn't have to be somebody, one of them, who was a complete putz. Okay?
Well, I just say
Phil Dunphy because I identify with him.
I don't know. I always liked how the dinosaurs took that archetype and kind of brought it out to make kind of fun of it as well, because they went over the top with that. So I think they purposely did that in that show to show off that the archetype of the idiot dad. And I mean, the whole thing about him, you know, he's a construction worker type. He wears flannel. It's hard to get through to him, but he's still dad at the end of the day. And then the relationship with his youngest child that doesn't even recognize him.
All right, Mo, how about you? Favorite sitcom TV dad?
Certainly not a dad that I would want to model my life after, but I have to go with Homer Simpson. I mean, in terms of laughs and enjoyability, very similar to, the archetype of the buffoon dad. I think that's my number one for sure.
All right. And if you had to pick a competent dad example?
I guess I'd go for like Michael Bluth from Arrested Development.
Michael, okay. Jason Bateman's character.
Exactly, yeah.
Yes. Okay. Interesting. Why?
I just feel like he always has good intentions, but he does, I don't know if he's necessarily incompetent, but he does find himself in, again, zany situations affected by the rest of his family.
He's usually put in those situations. So that I don't qualify him as that sitcom dad putz, because that character, Jason Bateman's character, Bluth, he has to clean up the mess for the rest of his crazy, zany family. So
exactly.
Yeah, okay, he's reasonable. All right, Andrew, favorite sitcom TV dad?
I have like three. So okay, I really like James Avery, who played Philip Banks in The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. I absolutely loved him. I thought he was just so kind and so sweet, smart when he needed to be, but he wasn't too like douchey or kind of like flubby or whatever. John Goodman in Roseanne. I am a huge John Goodman fan. And again, very lovable. And he never was too self-deprecating. Like he just was the perfect amount of funny. And who else? Bernie Mac also. I really like Bernie Mac.
The late Bernie Mac.
Yeah.
You've picked, I think, two dead people, two dead actors now, haven't you?
Yeah, James Avery died in 2013.
Yeah, he passed away. Yeah, 68, I think. He was 68. All right. My favorite, have I skipped anyone?
No, I think we got everyone.
All right.
I didn't know we got to do multiple.
Okay. My favorite TV dad, if I'm looking back, has got to be Howard Cunningham from Happy Days. You guys may be too young to even remember that sitcom, but I'm not. That was the one that gave us the Fonz. And he just, he presided over the perfect nuclear family in, it was, I think, Milwaukee back in the 50s. And he just was always genial and understanding. And even when he was angry, he wasn't that angry. But he just gave off that warmth that when you're a kid, you're looking out, you're like, why does my dad yell? Howard Cunningham doesn't yell. So that was my favorite fictional TV sitcom dad. Now let's look at the archetype of the idiot sitcom dad. Mo, do you think if we took any other identifiable group and made the character as stupid as the sitcom dad is, that it would be fine, or would there would be groups outraged?
Yeah, I don't think it would be fine, and we've certainly touched on this idea of punching up, where some jokes at the expense of men are just much more palatable in our culture than similar jokes if they were at the expense of women. And I think we do have to recognize that, you know, men don't have the glass ceiling or the double standard in their daily lives that women do. And when we look at this archetype, it's easy to say, oh, you know, men are subject to these jokes, but other groups aren't. But I think we miss a couple of key points. And the first is that, you know, Hollywood has a beauty standard that, fair enough, affects all genders, but it's way harsher on women. So of course, you're seeing typically quote unquote beautiful women on TV, whereas men can more easily get away with being out of shape, being quote unquote ugly. And those characters still perpetuate this idea that, you know, a bumbling buffoon can still score a bombshell, both physically in terms of looks and in terms of personality as well. And I think you already mentioned that, you know, family sitcoms are not a reflection of reality, but they are certainly a reflection of cultural values. And I think that there is this idea that men can be buffoonish, but as long as they're the primary breadwinner, it's all good, which is slightly problematic. I mean, I want to hark back to The Simpsons, which is an example that I brought up, where Homer literally throttles his son, but he's still seen as like a good dad. And there's other shows as well where maybe not actual violence, but there's dads that will throw out, you know, a threat to their kids. And I think we see less of that now, and the buffoon trope is obviously still around, but it continues to reflect this idea that men generally have a lower bar when it comes to socially acceptable behavior, or at least the type of behavior where you're rewarded.
And that men are stupid. that other art problem that I see with it, it's depicting, if you take, I don't know, any group, if I say a group as an example, someone's going to get upset. But if you take any identifiable group, and granted, men are not a vulnerable group, and these other groups I would mention would be, so there is a difference there, but just the prevalence of this archetype of the man who thinks he knows what he's doing, but he's always a screw up and the wife is always smarter. I mean, Tim Toolman Taylor is a good example.
Right? Don't you think that men, even just in culture, forget about TV, they just have a lower bar when it comes to certain things? I interviewed a comic by the name of Julie Kim, who's a local comic here in Vancouver. And she has a bit about how her husband gets called, you know, a great dad and an amazing dad for doing basic dad things. And moms just don't get the same praise for showing up to a kid's game or dropping them off at school or whatever. But men, you know, get showered with praise for doing basic parental duties. Don't you think that's a reality?
It's a reality, but we're talking about the lack of reality on sitcoms. I mean, it is true. Men, if a man in a relationship does the vacuuming or the laundry, he gets a lot of credit for it because that's woman's work, as opposed to, no, that's his dirty laundry too. Those are his underwear in there. He's just pitching in to share chores. Yes, men get in the real world, outside of, well, and on TV, I guess, seen as being some one step up to closer to ideal if they do household chores that they should have always been doing in the first place and that women have been doing for years for no credit at all. Okay, go on.
No, yeah, I was just going to say, and I think that what we see in sitcoms reflects that reality where the bar is just that low. So of course we're starting at a base where men are buffoons and men are silly. So yeah, we see that on TV, but we also do see that manifest in the culture itself.
All right. Let me just sort of turn it around. There was a time, especially in the 70s, when in sitcoms, the archetype for any blonde woman was a bimbo. She was dumb. If she was pretty, she was dumb. And women did not like that depiction. And I understand why, because it was, you know, saying that, well, you can be pretty or you can be smart, because the smart girl was always less attractive. And the guys all wanted to go out with the redhead or the blonde with the big boobs. And in those days, they were natural. But she was a bimbo. You could talk to her about stuff. You could get you knew you could get a leg over her, metaphorically and physically, because she was an idiot. Blonde women, if you were attractive in a sitcom, an attractive woman in a sitcom in the 70s, you were generally an idiot. And now we flipped it to men are generally the idiots. But to touch on something Mo said, we also are sending out a signal. I don't know if this is really absorbed or if people recognize TV is just not real, but you've got men who are out of shape. Yeah, you've got men who are paunchy, who are out of shape, who look like maybe real men of their age, and they're always married to a knockout. And the message there is, women have to constantly take care of themselves and maintain their appearance. Men can let themselves go and still wind up with a beautiful wife. And how do you feel about that, Stuart?
Well, I think like that's it's like when you're having this discussion about depictions of the TV dad, like it between the lines is also, well, because there's also the TV mom and how those two depictions play off each other. So like you brought up the like father knows best and the Leave It to Beaver era. And I think like this new is kind of like a response to that. And like there has been dramatic societal changes since then. Like we have the husband who's like this buffoon. And like if you want to use the Simpsons example, because everyone knows it, like he's this buffoonish dude who kind of physically abuses his eldest son and he's an alcoholic. And he's constantly getting into like money problems. And he's married to this wife who's kind of sort of like this buttoned up scold, and she's smarter than him and probably has way more potential, but she's shackled to him because like he put two kids in him or in her. And like one of the, I think, big changes that like facilitated this was like the like no fault divorce, where women could actually like leave their husbands if there was like, if she just didn't want to be with them. And I think it's a response to that people saw growing up, like the depiction of this TV dad who father knows best and he's super competent and all this stuff. And they're like, well, that's not my experience. Like my experience is like this. I don't think that the depiction of the TV dad that we have now was like in any way meant to like make men look bad. It's just the way that people like experience their childhoods growing up. And they like in Simpsons, his next door neighbor is like Flanders. He's like this jacked, like independently wealthy because he owns a small business, like a good Christian. He has two children who are great, and then Homer kills his wife. So
okay, he didn't murder her.
His actions almost directly led to
his that. Actions that led to her death. He didn't. Yes. He didn't go over with like the BTK killer or something and kill her.
No, he had a t-shirt cannon knock her off of a very high bleacher.
Yeah, and I think you're right that, I mean, The Simpsons, if you look at it, is writ large what we're talking about. The idea that the man can be a harebrain, not the best father, incompetent at most things, and the wife has tremendous amount of potential, but spends an awful lot of it cleaning up after the idiot. I think that is, you know, writ large an avatar for the topic that we're talking about. I wonder though, do you think, and I'll go first to Hafiz on this, do you think that when kids are growing up and they see the sloppy guy married to the beautiful woman, they think that that they don't have to work on themselves, that they don't have to look after their health because they're going to wind up with a beautiful woman and then get mad when they don't?
You know what? I think Hollywood pushes that archetype in general. Look, the ultimate male dream is hitting a home run out of your league. I mean, if you're going to push content towards men and you're going to go on their ideals and their fantasies, then yeah, that is something that they're always going to push, because let's face it, the average guy isn't going to achieve that. But seeing that on television, that is something that they're, you know, they're like, yeah, I empathize with that. Is it good? Is it bad? I don't know. I think, you know, at the end of the day, it's satire for the most part. Does it happen in real life? Heck, I've seen it happen in real life. There's been dudes where I'm like, how the fuck did he land that girl? But, you know, sometimes it's personality, sometimes it's wallet.
Well, agreed. Women, this is another topic altogether for another show, but women look for different things in men than men look for in women. Women are a little more cerebral and look for things that are a little bit more structurally sound than guys do. In a generality.
Add something to this though. It's usually, and the guys that in the sitcom dads, if you notice something, is maybe they might not be up to par on the looks level, but they definitely are good men to their wives, except for maybe Al Bundy. But other than that, for the most part, they're loving husbands. They are extremely apologetic when they fuck up. And they're always looking out for their kids.
So you're saying that there are essential, that even though he's this cuddly idiot, the sitcom dad has good qualities nonetheless that society values.
Well, look, it's saying that even if you are an idiot, you can still somehow get ahead and be a good person to your family, and you can, you know, even if your idiot brain gets in the way and puts you into shitty situations, it's your personality and the person who you are at the end of the day that helps you triumph and bring things back to normal.
That's interesting, because you point out that the sitcom dad, when he does his typical schmuck thing of the week, usually winds up apologizing to his wife.
Yeah,
and that's actually a really good example that I hadn't even thought about before we started talking about this, that value of being able to still be a man and apologize is a good example. Even though the rest of the guy's behavior you shouldn't follow, the ability to respect and treat your spouse properly, that doesn't change. That's always there. Though you could say that coming up with schemes that you don't tell your wife about is not the greatest sign of respect. But in many ways, men are, we keep our inner boy, and we do things.
Of course.
Just stupid. Andy's
the best for that.
Andy's been left out of this. Andy, this is difficult. This is, I mean, a difficult question for you. This is a dumb question, actually, to ask you, because you're gay. I was going to ask you.
I'm a fruit.
Yeah. Oh, which one?
Am I gay or a fruit? I don't know. Who cares?
No, if you're a fruit, which fruit?
Oh, if I was a fruit, I'd be a lemon probably. I'm pretty sour half the time.
All right.
I'm sour and I go bad and flies always are around me. It's weird.
I'm not coming over to visit. Okay. So
please don't.
Let's not pass this on to Andrew, but go to Mo. Mo, do you think that the sitcom dad idiot slob with the much smarter, much more attractive wife is in any way setting up expectations for young kids, young boys who watch these shows that they then grow up and become embittered, because it doesn't work like that?
Yeah, I think so. I think certainly some men in our culture and our society probably rank themselves higher than they should be in terms of their eligibility as a bachelor. And we've seen this, I don't have the studies on hand, but we've certainly seen this in things like employment, where men tend to think of themselves much more qualified than they are, and women actually think of themselves less qualified than they are. And again, it's not cut and dry, black and white, but certainly I think the messages that we get from all media, including family sitcoms, do have a role in that.
All right. Do you think that they're creating incels?
I don't know if that's directly creating incels. I don't think we should start blaming, you know, Homer Simpson for the creation of incels necessarily.
I wouldn't use Homer Simpson as an example, because Marge isn't shown as an example of the ideal woman. I would use, again, back to, according to Jim, his wife was the actress who had been on Ally McBeal, attractive blonde woman whose name escapes me because it's not...
Calista Flockhart?
No, it wasn't Calista Flockhart. She was the star. Anyway, Courtney Thorne or something like that. Anyway, since I left Much Music, I didn't have to worry about remembering all these names of actors in pop culture. But there's that example of the guy being a slob, the woman being out of his league. Are we setting up guys to think that they should expect to grow up? And just as a natural matter of course, it's you're going to get a woman who's out of your league.
I don't know if we can directly attribute TV sitcoms to that. Again, the dads there do have a lot of redeeming qualities, as we've sort of talked about. And I think the culture of incels, as far as I know, is really about being threatened by independent, strong, competent women.
Who won't date you.
As opposed
Who won't do it? Yeah, the bottom line is they can't get dates with them. They think that they're somehow entitled to having these beautiful women because they've seen it on television. I don't know if that's why, but I believe that if they watch it on TV enough, they came to think that they were going to be entitled to having interest from women who might have interest in this person if they invested in their personality and maybe some grooming, but they think they should just be able to be a slob and somehow you're going to get the trophy wife.
That might be a factor to that entitlement. Yeah. I mean, your argument makes sense.
All right. Andy, do you have anything you want to add?
Yeah. What it sounds to me like is like an argument of chicken and egg. And I guess like the high level scientific look of everything would be like media effects and direct effects and that whole like mean world syndrome sort of thing, where whatever you watch on TV, if you watch it enough, it becomes true in real life. I don't necessarily think that's the case at all. I really think that what is on TV kind of happens first in society, and then writers sit and they say, holy shit, we have to get this done, let's do it. And you pick up on a format that has been happening since the dawn of television, and that's really how do families assemble. And I think when you are watching television as a family, you're coming to it because you want to see yourself represented. So you know, if you're kind of a little bit of a burnt out mom, but you still have lots of hope and you're trying to keep it together and things aren't all that bad, you're looking at Patricia Richardson on Tool Time or Home Improvement, and you're saying, you know, wow, she made it through her day, you know. If you are a working Black woman, you're looking at Nell Carter on Give Me a Break, and you're saying, damn, here's a woman making it on her own, and she's a little bit bigger, and she still has some pride in herself.
We're losing you. Getting back, we're losing your mic.
My mic is right here.
Okay.
It's right, you're good?
Disappearing.
You gotta stop talking with your hands.
Yeah. I'm not. I have it held up. I don't.
Can I ask you a question, Andy?
Sure.
Since you're the only gay member of this panel, did Sitcom Dads, when you were growing up, did your being gay have a different, like, did you take different messages from those characters than what you've heard so far amongst us?
Well, I mean, not really. I always thought that, like, Tim Allen was pretty sexy, you know? And I'm also looking at Patricia Richardson on Home Improvement saying, wow, she made it through her day. Oh, and also Jonathan Taylor Thomas is hot. I mean, I'm also looking at people like, you know, watching Perry Mason and thinking like, whoa, like here's the guy who's not even wrapped up in family. He's wrapped up in work and he's, you know, doing a good job. I did watch a lot of older television.
I'm
really like watching Newhart.
By referencing Perry Mason, yeah, you're starring Raymond Burr. Yes, you watched older television. And I respect that because I have all of the seasons on DVD. But well, go on.
Well, see, you watched Happy Days, right? So it's like a really good litmus test for men in television. And first of all, the family dad is a big spectrum because there's a large, I mean, it comes down to the age-old, you know, entertainment thing, which is age, income, education. And that's what kind of makes up how you're building a television show because you're trying to target an audience. So you, like right around Happy Days, you have what? The Jeffersons, Sanford and Sons, you know, The Odd Couple, Welcome Back, Kotter, Three's Company, Bob Newhart Show, like Archie Bunker even, you know, and All in the Family. These are completely different dads that appeal to different men. Some of them are more put together. You know, you look at Newhart, you know,
well,
Bob
Newhart.
Newhart
didn't have any kids.
No, but I would argue that while he didn't have kids, he still appealed to that sort of waspy sensibility that kind of, you know, went through the 70s into the 80s, right? And then you have the Jeffersons, which is like, you know, he's a skinny dad, but he's, you know, a jiving man from the streets.
He was also George Jefferson.
Also on All in the Family.
Sherman Hemsley, also a giant putz. Archie Bunker, a giant putz. Everybody you've named so far from back then, except for Happy Days, they were all giant putzes. So you're making the point that this isn't new.
It goes across race. It goes across income, you know. So I think what it really does say is kind of what do men like to watch? I mean, here's a good example. So your television, King of Queens, Kevin James, who I absolutely cannot stand watching. Paul Blart, $20 million budget, makes $120 in box office because men want to watch this. They want to see men who can, you know, be really crazy, weird. I don't know. I don't know how to describe it, but exactly. And women and women want to say like, hey, you know, I can be with this fat slob, but it's going to be okay for me because, you know, I'm doing good.
All right. I'm not sure that I think we made several points during this conversation. I don't think we made one central point, but I don't think that this show is supposed to. It's just guys, men talking about men and male subjects in 2019. And the one TV dad nobody touched on, Bill Cosby. And maybe we should leave it there. I want to thank Mo Amir from Vancolor. Thank you very much for joining us. Where can people find you?
This is Vancolor on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. And follow me on Twitter at Vancolor.
Okay. Stuart Benson, where can people find you on Twitter? Not during your lunch break, but if they want to communicate with you digitally.
You can find me at Left Hand Stew on That's just Stu, S-T-U, on Twitter. And then I do just occasional bylines in Ottawa Showbox, so I want to give them a shout-out if you like music or entertainment news in Ottawa area. It's a
good place. Okay, great. Andy Willis, where can people find you?
Well, you can find me back on air this Wednesday, September 18th, with my show Andyland Radio with Andrew Willis. It is on CITR 11.9 FM here in Vancouver, or you can stream it on andylandradio.com, 10:30 Pacific, 12:30 Central.
And is there a Twitter they can get to you at?
At Andyland Radio on everything. If you want nudes, go to my Instagram. They're always there.
Okay, do not. you had to end the show there. It's not that I think that you're an unattractive man. It's that I wonder, I always about guys who have nude pictures of themselves on the internet. And maybe that's a topic for another time.
You were looking for Patreon gifts, like rewards for different tiers. So maybe
yes, that's right. For the $75 tier of Patreon, you get Andy's nude pics. No,
you
can
get
$75.
Andy's wearing his sock.
You know, you can get artful pictures of lemons.
Of lemons, okay. Hafiz Narani, producer, thank you for producing this episode of Mensplaining. Where can people get a hold of you?
I'm on Twitter at Feezy Does It. And of course, you can find me on several of the FU Politics shows on here, including on occasion Rock'em Sock'em and the No Bullpen and all the other cool stuff we're producing.
All right. Thank you very much. You know, Andy, now that's in my head. Were you joking that you have naked pictures on Instagram?
I mean, to be honest, no, but I mean, why not? If I can make a shackle, I will.
Okay, so
we're pimping Andy out. I thought that was the whole point of this podcast, is we're going to find Andy a date.
Wait, they're not actually there. You do not actually have naked pictures on Instagram.
No, but if you want them,
no,
if you like
fine,
what you
no.
see.
All I wanted to hear was the no, because it just would freak me out. I don't know why.
Probably.
Somebody would say that it's homophobic. I would say that it's more
the curiosity.
It's more that you don't want to see your friends showing off their junk. Okay, this has been Mensplaining. You can find me, Ed the Sock, at Ed the Sock. Find our Facebook page, Ed the Sock's FU Network. Our new website is launched thanks to Kyle Gunderson. Thank you, Kyle, for putting in a lot of work, because the other one looked like crap. It looked like GeoCities from 1988. There's still nips and tucks that need to be done, but Kyle worked around the clock working with Danny Mendlow to get that website looking respectable. So you can go there. The store is going to be open soon. And
what's the website? What's the website?
FUnetwork.tv. And please, I'll pitch you again. I hate doing this. I hate asking people who are listening to this podcast for free to subscribe, to help us out, to keep this going. But this is what we're reduced to in 2019. We're trying to do stuff that's real. We're trying to do stuff that sounds like you, talks like you, thinks like you, all these things. We want to speak with you, not at you. I hate the tin cup, but we need you. So go to patreon.com/FUNetworkTV, $1. Is where it starts, and every dollar counts. Or if you want to just give a one-time donation, I hate the term donation. If you want to give a one-time support, a bit of money, you can do it on PayPal, which is funetworktv@gmail.com. Patreon.com/funetworktv and PayPal, funetworktv@gmail.com. I hate fucking doing this. So if more of you would please, please throw some money into the Patreon, I wouldn't have to do this shit, which I can't stand doing. All right. That's it. I'm Ed the Sock. This has been Mensplaining on FU Politics on Fun, the FU Network.
For he's a jolly good fellow. For he's a jolly good fellow. For he's a jolly good fellow. Let's all say all of us.
This is Fun, the FU Network.